think it was Sylvia, about creation, about it being, the work being one on creation, or the mechanics. Mechanics is probably the wrong word. The dynamics of creation and how that how it takes place. Now, that very term, creation, is it's not loaded, but we can make assumptions about what's being spoken about.
Okay. And create an
atmosphere. So, what I want you to think about is how the writers use the term creation, not how it is commonly understood. Yes, on one level, a human being is created when they, you know, are born into this world, created the womb, born into the world. But that's not what the writings are talking about when they're talking about creation. In fact, you can, like, in a strict sense, you can say a human being is not created until they begin to regenerate. Human being doesn't exist until their spiritual mind is beginning to be opened. And while there's a lot of preparation that goes into our natural development of the natural mind can be led into the highest levels of what that constitutes in terms of its rational abilities, all of that. That doesn't make it spiritual. And it's not spiritual until there is a conscious reception of what is good and true through an acknowledgement of the divine. So when you're talking about creation, you have to be when you're reading about creation and divine love and wisdom and in the other works of the writings, actually, you have to make sure you're getting the context right. You know, so for example, the first chapters of Genesis are not about the creation of the world that we see around us. It's just not about that. It's about the recreation or the opening up of the human mind. That's what it's about. Okay? So, so that sets our thinking aright when we get into reading these terms, terms around creation in the Bible and the writings as well. So, any questions about that or comments?
There's one comment. Creation is ongoing. It's just not a past event, but it's continually ongoing, and everything is being maintained and renewed. So that's something I always keep in mind in regards to creation.
Particularly in this work, you're introduced to terms say. Yeah, we probably all got definitions about what some of these are, at least. The term God man is actually used in Divine Love and Wisdom. In other places, it's divine union. The term essay, the Latin term, another Latin term, viscere, divine essence, love and wisdom, life, oneness. If I was to ask, who could explain the difference between these terms?
Difference between those terms? Well, essay means the state of being, and existence means a state of showing.
And divine essence?
The divine essence is the ultimate being.
Sometimes I think divine essence is essay and existere together.
Okay, is it this essay and this existere or another essay?
No, I'm going to have to say it's a trick question probably.
Yeah, well, that's right, because it's confusing. When you're reading this, it is not straightforward. Because
sometimes I think Swedenborg didn't read the writings when you...
That's right, love and wisdom.
Wouldn't you put a big bracket there and just write God for the whole lot of them? Are they not all definitions of God or definitions of the thing?
Well, they could be. They certainly, yes, they are. But God is a very general term. Yeah. And what we're doing in Divine Love and Wisdom is actually teasing out distinctions in one sense. There's the phrase distinctly one that's used with regard to love and wisdom. And can someone tell me what that's about?
Yeah, conceptually we can separate them out.
Yes,
but in reality they're one.
Essential thing. So you can think about the things of love separately from the things of wisdom, but in reality they can never be separated. So we can talk about them as separate things, but we've got to keep in mind that they can never be separate. There is no love without wisdom, and there is no wisdom without love.
Yeah, but there's no existere without the S. You know, S without the existere.
Yeah, I could just throw in
that's right.
Substance and form. So you're kind of dealing with real philosophical exploration of a subject. That's what you're dealing with when you get into this particular work. But they are important. They're important distinctions. So Ros was talking about the importance of having the right idea. If you don't have the right idea and you're reading and these terms come up, you won't really have any idea about what it is you're reading about. So, and I don't know if it's going to be any clearer when I'm finished, but hopefully, you'll have something to work with.
It's interesting that while you threw in the partially true idea that creation is always about personal recreation, It is also about actual creation. Okay? So yeah. Should be careful you don't throw the baby out of the bathwater. And if you think about the creation of all this, then a lot of those words, I feel, we won't go into them, but I feel they actually become extremely helpful.
Okay.
In terms of physical creation, where God is not seen, but still is.
Isn't it creation through recreation?
Look, I'm not saying I've got my head around it, I've got a handle on it at all. What I'm saying is that when we think of substance, what do we think of? Straight off.
Things.
Physicality.
Yeah.
Atoms. At a lower level. What's that?
Drug abuse,
okay. But we think of what is physical and material. That's the first idea that enters our mind when we're talking about substance. When we talk about form,
Shape,
that's what comes to mind. You know, what shape is the divine?
Human.
Is it?
We've been created in His image.
God is seen as a flame sometimes in heaven. God is also first seen as the entire heavens.
Yeah. Substance. When we talk about the divine being substance, what kind of substance are we talking about?
Spiritual.
And what is that?
It's God. No.
What is spiritual substance?
Energy.
So these are terms that we use, right? But, and we make an assumption, we know what they are. In reality, you know, we're struggling because all we can relate to is what's on the natural level, physicality.
You don't really want to go down to the nth degree and thinking that way anyway, you just go nuts.
Well,
yeah. Just accept the experience for what it is.
Yes.
Well, let's go home. SA is being. And the term used in scripture for that is.
Manifestation.
Is
the only verb that can be predicated of the divine in itself.
Is. You see, isness, business.
Is. What is. Okay. And that is termed Jehovah. Okay. So, in Hebrew,
is was a verb.
Apparently the Hebrew letters have this idea, this was being. He who was, he who is, who was, and is to be. So you have this idea captured in the name of Jehovah. Now, about this, what can be said?
It is.
It is. What else can we say about the divine as esse?
It can never be an isn't.
True. That's right.
Excellent.
Can't change.
Okay, it can't be an isn't. Is it? Actually, does it make sense?
It does.
Double negative. Never.
It can never not be.
I'm not allowed to use
that. It cannot not be. Yeah. So what you're talking about here, what the writings say, in particular true Christian religion, is while you can say nothing about the divine as it is in itself, you can say what it is not.
It's not created.
That's right. It is not anything within our experience. That is, the divine as it is in itself is beyond human comprehension, because it is, it is infinite. Now, while that might look like I'm saying something about it, we're not actually, because we're saying it's not finite. It's not finite, okay? The other thing that's said about the divine as it is in itself is that it is eternal. Okay? What does eternal mean?
It goes on forever.
Is that right?
No.
It can never. Okay, think about that. Think about it. So we're talking because it's time, you see? We're thinking in terms of time. So it's got nothing to do with time. So what is the word eternal? Yeah, very well. Or non-temporal. So when it talks about the divine as eternal, do not think in terms of time. And when it talks about it being infinite, do not think in terms of space. There is no such thing as infinite space. It's a contradiction in terms. What is infinite cannot be bound, because once something is bound, it is finite. Okay, the universe is not infinite because it's created. Is it all right with people? Okay, so what can be said about the divine? Those attributes that are given to the divine, apparently, in the writings, are actually negations of what we are and what we experience and how we function. Alright? So that is a negation. The other things that are said of the divine as it is in itself is that it is substance and form. Now that is actually a positive statement, it's not a negation. Like these terms are. But again, it is infinite substance and infinite form. So you've got to think of it more in terms of
reality.
It's archetypal. That is, the divine as itself is the substance of all substance and the form of all forms, but they are infinite substance and infinite form, so you cannot form an idea about what they are. Okay? So, this is the divine as it is in itself, beyond anything we can comprehend. Okay. It's kind of a little off the line here. And then what you have is the divine as we perceive it. Or another way of viewing this, perceive it, or as we receive it. So we receive the divine into our life in accordance with the structures of our mind. Okay? So the divine appears to us in accordance with the structures that we hold in our mind. And in that sense, is in a finite form. So, in order for us to grasp and have a relationship with God, we have to be able to form an idea of God. You cannot love what you can't form an idea of. So, how the Lord presents himself, or how he is received, is as the divine essence. And this is where, so up here is esse. When you start moving into how the divine is received, it becomes termed as the divine essence in the heavens. In the Arcana you have the divine celestial essence, the divine spiritual essence, the divine natural essence. These describe not the divine as it is in itself, but the divine as to how it is received within human mind. So the divine celestial essence is how the divine appears to celestial angels. The divine spiritual essence is how the divine appears to spiritual angels. The divine natural essence is how the divine appears to those on the natural level. But these don't constitute changes in the divine. They reflect the different states into which the divine is able to be perceived and seen. Does that make sense?
So what we're drawn to, just as individual human beings, as you said this morning, we're all different. What we're drawn to when that influx comes, though we may not be aware of it at the beginning, but the experience would be like, I'm drawn to the carpenter. I prefer carpenter. Okay, to Jesus, for me, because he was a worker in the natural basic. So for me, anything that comes and reflected in that way is, what you're saying is how the divine is able to help me along.
Yes, and it's the same, so...
Because I can identify with that, yeah. At my natural level.
Yeah, so that's the form that the divine takes
for me.
In your experience. So, you know, we all believe that Jesus Christ, well, I'll make an assumption. I'm assuming that we all believe that Jesus Christ is God, but for each of us, we will carry a different idea about Jesus Christ. We might use the same word, but, you know, the same two words, but we will have different ideas.
And we will have them differently.
At different times, right? That's right. So we are always in the appearance. Otherwise, there would be no change. There would be no development or change, you know? The Lord never changes. He's always the same. You know, like there's no change in what is infinite and eternal. But certainly in terms of our experience of the Lord, it appears that there are changes. And it appears in Scripture that it appears in Scripture that the Lord changes his mind. Well, what is infinite and eternal can't change its mind. Okay. So, the divine essence is then described in terms of, so just so you're aware, it's described as love, divine love, and divine wisdom. When the term divine essence is used without distinction, okay, these two are one, and this becomes essence, being, but on the level where it's received into human mind, or angelic mind, angelic and human mind, which is a distinct from this in a conceptual sense, but not in reality. Now, when these are then spoken about in terms, when the essence is spoken of in terms of love and wisdom, love is referred to as esse, and wisdom exists throughout. And then it talks about the fact, but that because these two are one, what we call distinctly one.
Distinguishably
one, sorry. It's an important point to make. Distinctly one. Wisdom is also okay? So you can see how it can get confusing when you're reading. I mean, I'm confused just putting it up on the board. But these are the distinctions that are drawn up in this section of Divine Love and Wisdom, which I'll give you a handout if you can read through it later. But just so you're aware, again, the use of terms is important because it draws distinction and enables you to get your mind around things. And so these terms, they are the same. The other thing that's here is substance and form. And so in a sense, they are the same thing, but in another sense, they're not the same thing.
Love is a spiritual substance, isn't it?
Yeah, so that's it. So what is this, what is love?
Attraction.
Sorry?
Attraction.
Yeah, it's attraction. But it's not an easy thing to answer, that's the point, you know?
The desire to unite.
Desire to unite, yeah.
The connection.
Yeah, yeah.
Sex and life.
What's that?
Love and life are one of the same thing.
Love is life, that's right. That's the other thing that comes up. Love is life.
You get into words that really limit what it is, but to me, it's the life energy, you know, that drives everything.
Yeah. Okay, so one thing about the idea of energy. I know, but it's something we struggle with. So the idea of love as energy. Kind of suggests something from which that love advances from.
Absolutely, yeah.
Right? What in this section of Divine Love and Wisdom, Swedenborg is at pains. He's at pains to point out that love or affection and thought do not proceed from something. They are the substance and form itself. And thought and affection are changes in the substance and form. So thoughts don't flit out.
Yeah.
Or affections don't move out.
They are.
They are substance and form itself. Because if the Lord's love and wisdom, if we think of the Lord...
That's what we're having.
What's that?
What we are. It is just just an appearance of our own affection. When in we have, there's an appearance then that love flows into us.
Yeah.
When in reality we are part of it.
Yeah, that's
can I put this in a life science perspective as opposed to a religious perspective?
Sure.
To me, what Swedenborg's saying here is that, first of all, say I want to be a piano player, and I might really, or I might be, I'm a fantastic piano player, but I don't want to play the piano. I have no love to play it, so there's no music playing. And sitting beside me is Jack here, and Jack, he'd love to have my talent, knowing how to play the piano. He doesn't know how to play, so no music to play. But to me, this is a balance. Love is really anything at all that we love. It's just, I love a motor car. So I go to tech and I learn to get an understanding about motor cars, and then my energy goes into getting motor cars and working on them. That's my love. So everything is the marriage between what I want and getting the understanding of it so I can do it. Just an interplay between understanding and what I love. It's not love for a person or love for God necessarily. It's
like a motivation.
I love to make money, so I'll put my energy into making these bottles and this water, and I'll understand everything about bottles of water so that my love can come out in bottles of water, and I have the understanding to do it. But my real love is money.
Right.
Money.
Yeah. So, What I want you to see is that the common idea that we hold is that there's the Lord, and from the Lord comes love and wisdom. That's not what this is talking about. Love and wisdom is the Lord. Okay?
The Orthodox Church talks about Lord love. Lord love.
Yeah, so because if it worked this way, you would end up with a God from God.
Yeah.
Now where's that from?
Yeah.
That sounds like the end of it.
What's that?
This sounds a little bit like one of those like Nicene creeds or something.
Yeah. You end up with a son.
Yes.
Born from eternity.
Yes.
From the Father. And that's why Swedenborg is pressing this point, that love and wisdom does not proceed forward from, it is the Lord.
I've just got a favourite verse at home. I have on one of my bookshelves. It's very simple. Love wasn't put in my heart there to stay. Love isn't love until it's given away. Cute. I like love them.
So,
to me, that's the pillars you've drawn there, the way you've drawn them through with this women's coming down. To me, in place of the Lord, we could also put life. And they are the very two pillars that the whole of life and everything comes out of.
Yeah, because life is love and wisdom.
Yes, or you could say, yeah, what you love and what you understand.
Yeah, so it's you know, so, yeah, read with care. When you come to these texts, this is simply a handout with what I've done is just summarised about the first page, just a direct quote from True Christian Religion. But throughout, I've just summarised this next section, and but I strongly recommend like. You know, it is my summary, so if you're wanting to, you know, get a better handle on it, go to the,
right through my nose.
Yeah, I'll leave.